Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Paradeep Phosphates Q3 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal the operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Aniruddha Joshi from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thanks, Lizan. On behalf of ICICI Securities, we welcome you all to Q3 FY23 results conference call of Paradeep Phosphates. We have with us senior management represented by Mr. Suresh Krishnan, Managing Director, and Mr. Sabaleel Nandy, President and Chief Operating Officer. Now I hand over the call to the management for initial comments on the quarterly performance as well as nine-month performance, and then we will open the floor for question and answer session. Thanks, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Q3 FY 2023 earnings call of Paradeep Phosphates. At the outset, let me wish all of you a happy new year. This is our first call in the year 2023, and I hope and I'm sure that all of you are staying safe and healthy. We have already circulated our earnings presentation, which is available on our website as well as stock exchange websites. I hope you all have had opportunity to go through the presentation, and we would be happy to take any questions afterwards. The fertilizer industry, as you know, in India, has seen significant growth in the recent years, driven by the increased demand for food, a good support from the government, rising awareness of benefits of fertilizer and all major nutrients, including phosphatic, and the expansion in the industry. The government initiatives on subsidies and incentives to make farmers fertilizer more affordable to farmers has further led to the growth of the industry. We are pleased to report another robust quarter with our highest quarterly revenue from operations of rupees 4,398 crores, an increase of 62% year-on-year and 54% on sequential basis. The growth was primarily driven by efficient capacity utilization, successful stabilization of Goa plant, given our strong supply side linkages, notwithstanding a volatile global macro environment. In Q3 FY 23, we registered strong improvements in EBITDA and margins as well. The EBITDA for the quarter stood at 3,773 million, registering a year-on-year growth of 76%. Our profit after tax stood at 1,803 million compared to rupees 1,277 million in the same quarter last year, registering a year-on-year growth of 41.2%. The margins during the quarter were partially impacted by higher depreciation charges along with an increase in finance costs resulting from subsidies, currency instability, and slightly higher long-term borrowings compared to the previous year. The EBITDA per ton for Q3 FY 2023 was at 5,995 as compared to 4,425 in the same quarter last year. Total fertilizer production during the quarter was 621,815 metric ton, registering an increase of 66% on year-on-year basis. We are happy to report that we have fully stabilized the Goa operations, and the plant has been steadily producing both urea and phosphatic fertilizers. We have been able to produce 261,550 tons of finished fertilizer this quarter at our Goa plant with several NPK grades like N10, N14, N19, N20, and N24, and 124,271 metric tons of urea. On the Paradeep plant, we have successfully completed the revamp of all the granulation trains. As you know, we have four granulation trains running since November 2022, and we have achieved a daily average production run rate of 5,000 metric ton from December 2022 onwards. This has allowed us to meet our revamp targets, and we're eager to continue the steady rate of production at both our plants aligned to the market need with the right product mix. To further enhance our earning potential, we have embarked on two brownfield backward integration projects first of which will increase our phosphatic acid capacity by 2 lakh tons by Q1 of FY24. The second is to increase our sulfuric acid capacity from 1.4 million tons per annum to 2 million tons per annum, which will additionally enable us to generate green captive power. At a macroeconomic level, the outlook remains positive, with prices correcting and global markets improving post-China's opening up. We are confident that our strong financial results and developments will position us well for continued growth in the future. These are our initial thoughts, and the details have already been provided in our presentation, and we will be happy to take any questions from your end.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Darshita from Antique Broking. Please go ahead.
Hey, thank you for the opportunity. What would be the capacity utilization for GQFI23 as well as GQFI22? Hello, am I audible?
Yeah, you heard your question. As far as FY23 is concerned, both in Goa and in Paradis, we are close to working at 95%, and the 5% gap is largely due to the fact that we were stabilizing the plants post our revamps. And as far as FY22 was concerned, the last year, Paradeep was operating as far as in his full capacity. And as far as Goa is concerned, we were not running that plant then, so we don't have a comparable number.
Right. That's okay. What I wanted to understand was, if the capacity utilization was largely the same, what is fueling the 66% volume growth? I just wanted to understand, is it largely due to market share gain? Have we probably entered into other regions that we were not covering back then? So that is what I'm trying to understand.
Ma'am, you need to understand that last year we were running only Paradeep. This year we are running Paradeep and Goa together. And Goa has added 261,000 tons additional to the overall volumes that we have. So that's one primary reason that we get to see. The second reason for the growth is also given the fact that fertilizer prices have gone up, the input prices have gone up, and hence the overall market realization has gone up as far as fertilizer is concerned. So it's a price increase and a volume increase, both adding up to the overall increase in revenue.
Right. No, I think in the press release we had mentioned there's a 66% volume growth. So that is what I was referring to, the overall top line growth.
No, the 66% volume growth, which is coming primarily from Goa volume of 261,000 tons, which we didn't have last year.
Right. Okay. So, I mean, with respect to market share, if you could give any data, what was the market share right now versus back in 3QFI22?
You know, the
for Paradeep specifically, even that's okay.
Yeah, under normal circumstances, this question would have been relevant. But in the circumstance where the Goa plant was acquired by CPL on 1st of June 2022, this question is not quite relevant. But at a national level, PPL as an entity would be looking or aspiring to around 12 to 13% market share of fertilizers on an aggregate level.
Okay, all right. Also, could you provide the sales volume number for manufactured and what would be the trading? And
pretty much everything is manufactured. Pretty much everything is manufactured. We didn't trade.
Okay. And sales for DAP, NPK and urea. I think the ones that you provided are manufactured volumes.
Yeah, so I'll tell you, if you are talking of the numbers for the April to December or the quarter, The total sales figure for DAP is around 193,000. For NPK is 171,000. This is for the quarter. For the YTD, which is April December, the same numbers are 408 and 554. These are for Paradeep. For Goa, the numbers would be 247 total for the quarter, and for the year is 426.
Okay, and
these are all just
1,000.
And the same for CQ FY22.
No, CQ FY22 last year same quarter.
So FY22 Goa obviously is not relevant. From as far as Paradeep is concerned, it is 1084.
Split between DAP and NPK.
669 is DAP, 400 is NPK.
All right, okay. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Congratulations on this set of numbers. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star in one. The next question is on the line of Vihang Subramaniam from Zaba Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on the good set of numbers and thank you for the opportunity. Could you provide what is the gross debt, cash on hand and subsidy receivables outstanding as of 3Q?
Okay. Anything else?
That'll be my first question and then I'll follow up with a couple.
Okay.
You know, when for fertilizer operations, as we have been maintaining in the earlier calls, we look at long-term debt as the main debt. The working capital debt continues to fluctuate. The long-term debt for us is around 713 crores, and put together it's
the total debt. The total debt. I want the total gross debt and the cash on hand that we have. Trying to understand what's the net debt and what's the subsidy receivables outstanding.
No, we have a total debt of 4,298 crores as in December 2022. And the
4,298 crores.
Yeah, out of which the long-term debt is 713 and the short-term working capital debt is 3,585.
Subsidy receivable is 3,457.
And inventories are 2,812 crores.
Yeah.
So the 4,298 is gross debt, right?
Yes.
And what would be the cash on hand that we have?
So we primarily have a large limit available from the working capital consortium, and the limits available which we can draw upon today is over 1,500 crores.
No, I mean the cash on the balance sheet, sir.
No, we're not sure. We are borrowed. We're not really showing any surplus cash or invested cash in the balance sheet, and all the cash has been utilized to pay down the working capital cash-based facilities.
So net debt is basically same as broadly around 4,300 crores.
Same number, and we have borrowing limits available and drawing power available, and that number is over 1,000 crores.
Got it. And sir, ideally I thought that the net debt should have come down more quarter on quarter, right? Given that we almost got around 2,000 crores or so of subsidy payments from the government. So any thoughts on why it didn't come down?
No, the way it works is the debt comes down because primary composition of the debt, as we said, the long-term debt is only 713 crores. The primary composition of the debt is buyer's credit or working capital, which is because of subsidy receivables of 3,500 crores. The subsidy receivables, as you know, the way it works is the government pays the companies within 15 days of the sale happening. End of December number is not the right number to look at because Rabi has just started or had just started around that time. If the same number were to be looked at end of February or so, the numbers, end of January or so, the numbers come down.
But just to give you a feel, I mean, we have had a good run in terms of subsidy received from the government. During this quarter, we got 1,504 crores of subsidy, and the total subsidy that we received over the 9-month period is 2,885 crores. And our market collections have been pretty robust right through.
We got 1,500, you said, right? From
yes, 1,504 crores during this quarter, yeah.
Got it. So, and given you mentioned about February, right, like any guidance on what would be the net debt number by year end?
Yeah, well, I think the way we look at this is that, you know, we are looking at a long-term debt as we have been giving this guidance for a long time. It's expected to be around 1,000 crores for us because by this time we would have kind of completed all our projects. As far as working capital debt is concerned, which is the cash borrowing that we will do from the banking system, is not expected to increase over 1,000 crores. That's the kind of number that we've always planned for, and that's the kind of indication that we're getting. The rest of it will be primarily to do with a supplier or a buyer arrangement that we will do. So these are the two critical numbers that we need to look at, and so based on the subsidy received by 31st of March, the 1,000 crore number will go up or down. And that's the way we look at it.
So the net debt number of 4,300 should go down.
It should not be increasing at all. It should not be increasing. We would be able to maintain those numbers, yeah.
It wouldn't go down though, but from 4,300.
It could. The way the sales are happening, the progress that we get to see, and the way the subsidies will get paid, and there is a good possibility for this also to come down.
Got it, sir. Got it. And just on the EBITDA per ton, do you think 4Q also we could maintain our current levels, or do you see this dropping off?
Well, we always believe that as far as the phosphatic business or the blended business that we look at, 5,000 rupees per metric ton is a good EBITDA number to go with. And you'll always see a fluctuation in a commodity trade where you would see some quarters which are better. So I think we would like to kind of maintain the same, and we're hopeful that the stability that we are seeing in prices and the improvement that we are seeing in terms of availability could well lead to some improvements.
Got it, sir. And just last thing on the finance cost, could you just give some guidance on how one should think of it?
Well, when you look at finance cost today, there are two elements to it. One is the long-term money that we've been borrowing, where the average cost has been around 8.5% for us. When it comes to the short-term borrowing, in the kind of weighted average that we're looking at this point of time, is about 6.75%. That's the kind of cost that we're running today.
Understood, sir. So that's it from my side. Thank you so much again, and good luck.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Akshat Mehta from Samaksha Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes, sir. So, a couple of questions. First thing is, you know, can you tell what are the key reasons for this, you know, sharp jump in your EBITDA?
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Mehta. So, your audio is not clear.
We
would request it to use the handset yes. more
while speaking. Am I audible now?
So, slightly better. Please proceed.
Yeah. So, my first question is on your EBITDA per ton. So, you've done there has been a sharp jump in your EBITDA per ton from around 5,200, you know, normalized EBITDA per ton last quarter to 6,000. You know, so, what has been the key driver of, you know, this sharp jump in EBITDA per ton?
But, you must understand here that we have been in a process of increasing our capacity. Our fixed costs have remained the same. So, the capacity increase have already taken up, which is adding to our efficiency without having any further increase in fixed costs.
So I just want to understand that this you're saying is purely operating leverage. So, you know, in quarter two, you know, what were your capacity utilization numbers? Because Goa plant was still operational in three manufacturing lines.
Last quarter, Goa plant was in operation. We had taken over Goa in the month of June, and only at the end of August that we started operating Goa, and we were stabilizing the Goa operation based on various rates and various combinations that we are looking at. It is only from the month of November that we have reached a point where we have a stability and we have a clear plan in terms of how we are going to use those capacities.
So in fact, if you remember when we had the last investor call, this is the point that we had said that our focus in the current quarter, which is the October-December quarter, would be to stabilize the Goa operations, because the last two quarters before that, while we had just acquired Goa, there were supply chain issues, and it was not yet smoothened out, and that's where bulk of the management attention has been, which is to stabilize and generate steady throughput out of Goa. So that has been the key contributor to the seemingly better performance. Of course, the other factors that have helped us is a generally positive scenario as far as the demand supply is concerned, and a scenario of overall softening or a gradual softening of prices.
Okay, and I just want to understand how sustainable is this 6,000 per ton number. Do you know what kind of outlook should we see for the rest of the year as well as so for FY24? Where should this number go?
We felt it's our view that as for the phosphatic business is concerned, 5,000 rupees per metric ton EBITDA is a good stable number to look at. So we would like to remain with that, and you will always have an opportunity in certain quarters where your numbers will look better.
Yeah, we continue to maintain what we have been maintaining right from our pre-IPO days, which is a 5,000 rupee per metric ton number. And that's what we would like to believe will be the number going forward. That doesn't mean that we will leave any stone unturned to increase that number.
Okay. I mean, that means somewhere, you know, we are considering that there will be a falling number, because till now you had very good numbers overall in the 9-month period as well. So that can happen. Secondly, I just want to understand, you know, what is the kind of capex that you're going to spend on the two backward integration projects?
As far as the capex is concerned, the primary capex on granulation is already completed. And as far as the phosphoric acid capacity increase is concerned, the overall capex was in the tune of about 225 crores. And we spent about 50% of that, and the balance will get consumed during the next few months. So that is the capex that is going to be there. As far as the sulfuric acid project is concerned, that's a 425 crore project which is going to be taken up over a period of next 2 years. So you're not going to have any bunching up of the capex that's happening. We are now at an advanced stage of engineering, and we would expect the project activities to take to peak sometime in the second half of this calendar year, which will be the second half of the next financial year.
So as we have, again, borrowing from the arguments or the discussions that we have been having in the run-up to the IPO and the last two calls, bulk of our investments have been already put on the ground, and we are looking at reaping the benefits of that. One of the points that we have also mentioned in the press release and which we have not discussed so far in the call is the fact that all the four granulation trains in Paradeep have been fully revamped. That was one of the important projects that we were running. And today, as we speak, we are able to generate or realize the targeted per day production numbers from Paradeep fully, which means Paradeep is now running at 1.8 million tons annualized run rate. So that's point one. And the other project that Mr. Krishnan just referred to, which is related to the phosphoric acid expansion, which is a very, very critical project, is also broadly on track, but running a quarter or two behind schedule, which we will catch up, and we should see that also coming on stream soon. And once that is done, the other project that will be remaining to balance out the requirement of sulfuric acid would be a sulfuric acid plant. But by and large, we are done with very major capex plans. We are in the drawing board to look at the next wave of growth for PPL, and whenever that's ready, we'll come back to share that with you.
Okay. So another, general broad question on the industrial as well. You know, the industry is now moving towards more and more nano fertilizer production. So is there any, intention of the company to go towards that production? You know, what do you think would be the impact overall on the industry, once nano fertilizer comes in a couple of years at large scale?
Nano fertilizers are concerned, we believe it's a more specialty product which will be in the category of non-subsidized product, and I'm sure that we will add that to our portfolio going forward. However, Nano's potential today looks like more like replacing about 10%, a maximum of 10%, starting with about maybe 3 to 5% in the case of urea. And we'll have to get to see how much of DAP that it can replace. A good target to begin with will be 5% of the overall market size. But you must keep this in mind that as Nano gets in, you also have a growth in the phosphatic fertilizer consumption. So what we can very clearly see is that our import dependence on account of growth which is there could well get partially offset by the nano category that will come in.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for your answer.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deva Himatsinka from Augmenta Research Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Fantastic numbers. Very impressed with the performance. Just wanted to understand a little bit more on the Goa plant acquisition. Currently, and I'm sorry, I must have missed this because I joined the call a little late, but overall, what is the capacity utilization in Goa?
Yeah, like as you said, you know, we are running at 261,000 tons of production that we did in the last quarter, and Goa is potentially good for about 280,000 tons in a given quarter. So we're nearly at the peak level based on the grades that we manufactured there. Urea is running full capacity, roughly 1,350 tons per day, and as far as phosphate capacity is concerned, it's about 2,000 tons per day.
Okay, and going forward, you know, if we had to look forward into FY24, what kind of volumes could we grow at? Like if you had a year-on-year idea, like if you have a target in mind or something.
This year is going to be more like a. We've done already 1.4 million tons of sales, and we could be somewhere in the ballpark of about 2 million tons of sales as we end this financial year. And because the current 3 months are the second half of this quarter is going to be like off season for the fertilizer market. When it comes to next year, we have a capacity which is close to 3 million tons, and so obviously we will be looking forward to utilizing most of it, and so our targets will be based on that. So you should see a good increase from the current levels of 2 million tons that we're doing this year for the next financial year.
Okay, noted. That's all from my side, sir. Wish you the very best for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star in one. The next question is on the line of S. Ramesh from Nirmal Bang Equities. Please go ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen. Can you hear me?
Yeah, sure.
Hello? Thanks for the call and the results. So the first thought is with the phosphoric acid prices, I think, showing a decline. Has there been any impact because of the excess inventory from the second quarter? And how do you see the outlook for sulfuric acid and phosphoric acid prices to the extent that you have to buy it from the market, say, over the next few quarters? What is the sense you have?
Well, in terms of availability, we see a stable availability of all these products. And we believe that the fertilizer raw materials in general, they are pretty much the prices of peak. So we are seeing a correction downwards. And that is likely to continue for a couple of quarters the way things are. I think we believe that availability will not be an issue as far as the industry is concerned. And when it comes to inventory, yes, we are a manufacturer. We do carry raw materials with us. And based on it could well be between 20 days to 30, 35 days, inventory is something that we always carry. So that gets into manufacturing and gets corrected in terms of pricing over the period of time.
Okay. So in terms of the margins you have reported for this quarter, you would have had a certain level of pricing for your fertilizers and net of the subsidies. So have you been able to maintain that price per bag or price per ton for the third quarter, or have you cut prices?
As far as Q3 was concerned, we did not have to cut any prices. I mean, they were pretty stable. And I personally see that as far as the MRP for fertilizer is concerned, we will have a stable regime. You know, maybe a grade or two might kind of end up changing. But it looks like a stable year going forward.
So in terms of your captive production of sulfuric acid and phosphoric acid, what is the percentage of captive production if you look at your Paradeep fertilizer unit?
Well, as far as sulfuric acid is concerned, we pretty much meet all our requirements from our own production. And as far as phosphoric acid is concerned, we've already been, we are currently at about 70% in terms of our backward integration. And with the new capacity coming in, we could be closer to 90% as far as Paradeep is concerned. In case of Goa, we will be import all our sulfuric acid that's required.
Okay, so this sulfuric acid expansion is primarily for your additional phosphoric acid production.
Absolutely.
Is that right?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's right, yes.
Oh. Okay, thank you very much and I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is in the line of Vignesh Iyer from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congratulations on good set of numbers. I just wanted to ask about, if I'm not wrong, your capacity is around 30 lakhs MT, right? And you were saying that you had a utilization of roughly 95%. So I was, were you speaking about all the fertilizer or DAP and NPK only?
No, you look at it, our current run rate is at 30 lakh tons per annum. As far as when we started this year, we had only 15 lakh tons as far as the capacity was concerned, that was only Paradeep. We added Goa in the month of June, and Goa has finally got stabilized, and as we had mentioned that it will take us some time to stabilize Goa. During this quarter, Goa has got stabilized. So we have been using whatever capacity was available because of Paradeep to over 95% capacity, because we were having one train always under revamp. And all the revamps have been completed, so we are in a position to run all our four trains effectively. As far as Goa is concerned, right through from the time of acquisition, we've been able to run our urea plant to full capacity. Phosphatic plant, after ironing out all the issues on supply chain, now since October, November, is running at a pace which is close to over 90% capacity utilization.
Okay, so would it be fair to assume that for the quarter 4, we can do somewhere around 7 lakh tons and for the FY24 around 28 lakh tons or 27 lakh tons roughly?
Well, as far as quarter 4 is concerned, you know, second half of the quarter 4 is an off-season, so we'll have to take a call in terms of market demand. So we believe that we should do a good quantity. I mean, may not be 7 lakh tons, but we'll be more like a 6 lakh ton number if something is... should be feasible, and we would have a complete clarity by end of February as the season ends. And based on the market requirement, we'll be producing. And you're right. I mean, we have a capability to take the capacity utilization and production to 28 lakh tons next year.
Okay. So thank you. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Chintan Shah from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, thanks for the opportunity. So I just wanted to say, in case of the current raw material pricing scenario, just wanted your sense on how to expect the subsidy component to play out and how would that impact the margins going ahead?
Well, if you look at it, right since 2019, the subsidy per ton for phosphatic fertilizers has only gone up. And if you look at it today, it is roughly about 70%, 67 to 70% is the subsidy for the phosphatic fertilizer. We believe that going forward, with prices getting corrected and MRPs being at what level that we see, the subsidy per ton will come down and the proportion of market prices to the overall realization will keep increasing.
So, on a net-net, we should maintain our profitability.
Yeah, I think there is every case for us to really maintain profitability in general. But given that the industry has been affected by geopolitical reasons in the last year since February, and we are quite confident that particular event is being handled well, and the global markets are stable, and it'll be good to see the sector from a quarter to quarter basis as you get these global situations evolve. But one big positive that we're getting to see is a stabilization in China, which we believe is on the whole good for the sector.
Okay, I got it. And secondly, that slide, how do we see the import playing out? Could that be a spoilsport in coming quarters?
Well, as far as imports of DAP is concerned, the availability of DAP is there. And I think India's current position of DAP in terms of closing stock for the next season looks to be quite good. And we don't at this point of time see challenges in import of DAP.
Okay, got it. So, and lastly, with this expansion largely done, and in next quarters will probably ramp up completely. So just wanted to sense, in terms of growth perspective, and from FY24 and beyond, do we have any other plans to expand capacity or we look at some other product, etc.? If you can throw some light on this.
Well, from FY24 onwards, like you said, you know, we're going to have some of the efficiencies kicking in from the backward integration. So that's going to make a difference. As far as Paradeep is concerned, there's a phosphoric acid efficiency coming in. As far as Goa is concerned, we're doing an energy efficiency improvement in Goa in urea, ammonia urea complex. The benefit of it will come in the fourth quarter of next year. And so these are initial benefits which are there. And as we said earlier, we are back to the drawing board in terms of looking at FY25 onwards. I think we got our hands full as far as 24 is there. And for what we need to do from 25, we will work on it. And the one important project that can kick in FY25 is also the completion of the sulfuric acid project.
Okay. Got it, understood. That's it from my side. Thanks.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next question. That is from the line of Dwanil from iWealth. Please go ahead.
Congrats, sir, on a great set of numbers and thank you for the opportunity. Sir, am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. So, sir, just a couple of questions. First was, again, sir, on the volume that you were saying that we did close to 6,21,000 this quarter. And ballpark, sir, on the quarterly side, at the optimum level, we can do somewhere around 7.1, right? So, which is around 28 for the year.
Yes.
So, sir, from here on, incrementally, the two capex which we are doing is more on the backward integration and they won't help us in adding more volume, right? So yes. From here on, sir, how do we see volume growth shaping up once we reach? Almost, sir, currently we are at 95%, right? So,
this financial year we will end up with about 2 million tons. And, you know, we'll have to travel from 2 million tons to the 3 million tons, which you will get to see in the coming years.
And just to add, there is no company which you will see, at least in India, whose sales volume is equal to production volume. Most of them also have a top-up of traded volumes, which we have not yet intentionally embarked upon. And the advantage or the efficiency that kicks in with an additional traded volume is because from the same fixed cost base of the sales and marketing network, we can churn out more volumes through imports. So that will also kick in. The main reason why PPL as a company has not gone into it is because we were in the middle of a very aggressive expansion program. In Paradeep, we were moving from 1.2 to 1.8. Goa, we were taking on another 1.2. So for the next 3 years, at least the management team is completely, you know, we have our hands full as far as the volume growth is concerned. And there are many areas from which this volume growth will come.
Okay. So you are saying that the imports or the trading can be done to increase the volume, correct?
Yes.
Which currently we aren't doing it.
Yes.
Because we are utilizing our own capacity. Got that right. One. And sir, when we do the trading, so in that case, what is the EBITDA pattern we generally make on that?
In case of trading, you know, contribution is equal to EBITDA is equal to PBT. Because it is going to be riding on the same sales and marketing network.
Correct. But I wanted to understand on the EBITDA burden. So 6,000 is what currently we are doing.
It depends on global prices. Yeah,
which you would have done historically.
Yeah, it will be lower than manufacturers. Say 3,500 is a decent number to take.
Got it. And just one last question. The phosphoric acid backward integration. How to understand the impact of that, sir? So in terms of our EBITDA per ton would increase, understand that, sir? So can I explain?
It's an efficiency improvement, so it will have to reflect on EBITDA per ton, and I'm sure we'll get a chance to discuss this in the next earnings call once we're done with it, yeah.
Okay. Because in the earlier call, you were saying that 1,000 to 1,500 rupees is generally the conversion, which you will be able to get, right?
Yes.
Got it. And what is the capacity, sir, we are putting in processes?
200,000 tons.
Additional, which will start from Q1.
We are expecting that the plant should get into a commissioning mode in Q1.
Great, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is on the line of Dhruv Muchhal from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, we can hear you. Yeah.
Thank you so much, sir. So I just wanted to reconfirm the sales numbers. For Q3 this year, it is 611,000 tons. And for
yes.
Q3 last year, it was 494,000 tons. Right, sir?
Yeah.
Perfect. And sir, you mentioned the subsidy this quarter end is about 3,400. What would this be at the end of the September quarter?
At the end of September quarter, the subsidy. We got 1,504 crores of subsidy. We had at the end of subsidy outstanding at the end of September was 2,252 crores. Yeah.
2,252 crores. Got it.
Our subsidy is going up today because we're producing more. Our volumes are substantially increased, so you will see all the numbers.
And the number that you mentioned, 1,500 crores, that you have received in Jan, right, sir?
Yes. This is what we received in during the Q3 quarter, between September, October, November, December.
In Q3. And so just on the EBITDA number, now if I look at the number per ton considering that you probably had some higher cost inventory and also the manufacturing spreads, if I'm not wrong, for phos acids have been a bit lower versus the last quarter, the EBITDA per number seems quite strong. Also in context of the urea volumes, you had decent urea volumes even this quarter, so which I believe is not as profitable as the normal fertilizer, the NPK fertilizers or DAP. So just wanted to understand better on the EBITDA per ton. Is it probably seasonal which is driving this, or there can be further upside to significant upside? Because versus your guidance, this is a significant difference, 7,600, probably upwards of 6,000 versus 5,000 your guidance.
Well, you look at it as far as the EBITDA is concerned, it's one is manufacturing efficiency, number one. The second most important thing that I mentioned earlier was that we started increasing our volume with the same fixed cost. That's making a difference. The fixed cost that we're carrying in the last quarter, Q2, the similar fixed cost that we're carrying in Q3, but our volumes are very different. And so the incremental volume which is coming in, there again your contribution becomes A equal to EBITDA. It doesn't have to have any other fixed cost set off. So that is the impact that you're getting. So the volume, the increase in volume at the manufacturing side is what is driving this.
So, but the understanding is fair that the manufacturing spreads probably were on benchmark levels were probably lower. So despite that, the overall EBITDA is still better.
I mean, as far as the right across all products mix, I think we've had good EBITDAs and we've made various grades of fertilizer which have kind of worked for us.
So what was your question? What exactly do you want to say?
Urea is lower.
Yeah, no, so if I just adjust for the urea volumes, your EBITDA per ton will be even better because that probably is the right way to understand because urea
is... It's the case. But, you know, urea is a stable product with a stable EBITDA will adjust me.
No, you know, as Mr. Krishnan mentioned earlier, we are telling you the EBITDA that we have achieved this quarter and the guidance going forward, which is around 5,000 rupees. We will try to exceed that, but we'd like to maintain that as the number, the reason being... You know, we've just had one quarter of steady Goa performance. We would like to repeat that for a few quarters before being able to increase that guidance in case that's what you're going towards.
Yeah.
And the fact that we have urea, unlike some of our competition, is actually a de-risking strategy because there will be quarters, there will be years when urea will be good, especially in scenarios where gas prices are high, etc., as you are probably alluding to. So this the balanced portfolio that PPL has compared to some others is working, and that was one of the reasons why we decided to go after the Goa plant to increase or diversify our product portfolio beyond a pure phosphatic play. It is going to be an advantage, and we may see more of it going forward.
Sure, sir. That's helpful. Just one last thing. Is Goa, your plan was to shift more towards the NPKs rather than DAP, if I'm not wrong. So based on probably very early performances, is that on track or do you see...
Absolutely. It's completely on track and we made some small quantities of DAP. We tested out all the grades including DAP as far as Goa is concerned. But if you look at it during the last quarter, we have made N14, N19, N20, all trades that we made out there.
So only of the 247,000 tons in Goa, only 19 is DAP.
This is all NPK. This is NPK.
Okay. Thank you so much. That's all.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Manish Mahawar from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. In terms of EBITDA per ton perspective, as you said, 5,000 rupees per ton of margin. So this is blended margin, right? It's a phosphatic as well as urea blended margin you're talking about.
Yes, Manish. Yeah.
Okay, and going forward, once this your backward integration in terms of phosphoric acid, sulfuric acid will be in place in FY24 and I would say 25, the capacity will be available, right? What type of EBITDA per ton we can make? Or if you can say basically what type of benefit, EBITDA benefit can come from these two projects?
Well, as you look at it, the volumes are going to be, the volume growth is also going to drive the overall absolute rupees flows of EBITDA, which is going to be there, which you will get to see in FY24, and also the benefit of the phosphoric acid capacity. And that's certainly going to add, because our backward integration will go up from 70% to 90% in Paradeep. But
yeah,
I think, Manish, the best thing is, you know, these are all commodities, volatile markets, you know, and we should be clear that all this is going to be positive as far as the company is concerned. And as we come to those quarters where we start producing, we'll discuss it here.
Okay.
But we are very confident that all of it will be positive for us.
Okay. Yeah, that was my point actually. Basically, can we make a higher EBITDA what we are guiding for at the moment, and it is conservative at the moment, right?
I think 5,000 rupees being an average EBITDA given the kind of product mix that we have, given the efficiencies that we're going to bring in, I'm sure the objective is to increase the EBITDA, as we mentioned earlier. We would look at a better guidance as we once we reach the area.
Yeah, and just to add to what Mr. Krishnan said, you know, the EBITDA per ton is also a function of the prices of you know, rock phosphate, phosphoric acid, and our long-term contracts are such that we get you know, it's a discount percentage, etc. All those things come in. The 5,000 rupee per ton is an EBITDA per ton number that we keep saying, which we are saying we're going to maintain. But as you realize, when the prices go down,
right,
we will also shift the discussion to an EBITDA margin, which will start to show much better.
Yeah.
So in a scenario where the prices are very high, we don't talk of EBITDA margin, we talk of EBITDA per ton. But when prices will go down, we will shift the discussion to EBITDA margin.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And as far as this industry is concerned, it's important to note that the volumes are important and the quality of the volumes are equally important. So I think that is exactly where our focus is. And the quality of volume that you will get to see from us will finally determine the kind of EBITDA that we will generate.
Understood. And in terms of a mix perspective in the finished goods, we last year we sold around 7 lakh ton of DAP. So this going forward, incremental whatever volume we sell, it is towards the NPK side most of it, right?
Yeah. So actually, you know, from a production capacity point of view, we are in a position to make of the 3 million tons of 30 lakhs. You leave aside 4 lakhs, you are left to 26 lakhs. We can make 26 lakh tons of DAP if it is needed. However, our choice of product is determined by what our farmers need and, of course, a consideration of what kind of contribution we will make from those products. That's what determines the product market choice. Having said that, this year we have deliberately reduced or subdued our DAP production and DAP sales. We will continue to look at dynamically the scenario of the market and decide which products to make. The important point which we would like you to understand is the flexibility that the production plants have, which many other competition does not have. They are stuck.
Right.
They have to make a non-DAP product per force or a DAP product per force, which is not the case with us.
Hey, look at our last quarter performance. Our DAP was down by 10%, whereas our NPKs like N20 was up by 33%. And when it comes to the other specialized grades of NPKs, which we look at in Goa, it's like 500% increase was there in the quantity. So this has been the change that has come into the overall product mix.
Okay. But my limited point is that going forward, in terms of overall volume, your mix in terms of NPK will increase, or it will be remain at the same as what we are seeing in
terms of... We will always increase depending upon the need of the farmer and how the liquidation happens, you know. We have a, as you said, we have a very good capability today.
Yeah.
We are a highly fungible granulation chain right across Goa and Paradeep. So we will take a call as we go forward based on what market requirements are.
Okay, understood. And last point, Mr. Krishna, if you can throw some your thought in terms of a government subsidy provision for the next year, which is today actually budget 1,75.
What we saw in the budget was 1,75,000.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, which is a good number. I mean, this could be an as good an estimate as you can get today, and we feel that it's been quite a healthy number.
Okay, and what's your expectation for the phosphoric acid price maybe for a coming quarter or so? It will
because
come
this,
down?
Because this quarter it will come down for sure, Q4. And
okay.
The trends, the way we're looking at it is that maybe this quarter, next quarter, you would see correction downwards and post that we'll see.
Okay, but the contract has yet to be finalized for the 4Q, right?
Yeah, I think they're pretty advanced stage. I mean, I'm sure you'll get to hear it soon. Yeah.
Okay, understood, sir. Sure, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Rishikesh from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Firstly, just wanted to know if my understanding is correct here. If next year we can do 28 lakh of sales and lakh tons of sales, and on that, the steady state EBITDA per ton of 5,000 per ton, and assuming, you know, provided that prices don't go down, are we talking about like almost 1400 crores of EBITDA potential?
Well, we've already, even if you look at our time of investor presentation during IPO, this is the kind of growth that we have projected, yes.
Yeah, I does that surprise you? We have been saying that in all the calls, in all the, you know, for the last 1 year or more.
Okay, because I'm actually new to
sure.
Okay, and second, sir, can you get that look for FY23 and FY24?
What is it? I didn't get the question, yeah.
Can you put a debt outlook for next 2 years, sir?
So what outlook do you want, sorry?
Debt outlook, sir.
No, see, as far as the long-term debt is concerned, we're pretty much reaching 1,000 crores, and it will keep coming down from there on. So we're not expecting that to happen. As far as cash-based working capital is concerned, as you said, that you know, we're trying to run at a level between 1,000 to 1,500 crores between the two units. As we speak, we are below the targeted number that we are in. We will always have a supplier's credit, which is primarily a supplier's or a buyer's credit arrangement based on the purchases that we do. That will primarily depend upon global prices. As we get to see global prices coming down, I believe that those numbers will be significantly corrected.
Yeah, and as we were mentioning earlier, that the number that we actually look at internally is the long-term debt, because the short-term debt is well covered through, on one side, it's largely comprised of subsidy receivables, which is an assured money that comes. And also, again, the subsidy receivables, we have enough and more working capital limits at very attractive rates for us. Bringing in the earlier question, if we can actually realize the kind of EBITDA numbers that we are talking of, we would be long-term debt-free in 2 years. But that's not the position that we would like to go to, which means that we would have run out of ideas to expand the company, which will not be the case with us. So by the time we reach that, we would have other ideas to expand the organization and invest in profitable areas for future growth.
Okay, sir, that was helpful. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining our call. We are confident and we are quite keen to grow the way we have indicated to you in this call and the presentation that we made earlier. Our team remains focused on executing our strategy and delivering value to our shareholders. We appreciate your continued support and we look forward to connecting with you all in the coming days. If any question remains unanswered or you have any further questions, please feel free to connect to our investor relations team. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.